Dad moved to the hills when I could barely walk or talk. He cleared a stand of cedar, built a home of native rock. Now my daddy is a lawyer, but the daddy I recall wore boondock boots and a khaki shirt and a sweat-stained farm straw. And his dreams are in the hills, in the limestone rim rock cedar breaks, home of the deer and the whippoorwill. Seep spring down by the canyons, thick with yoke on open elm. Daddy's dreams are in the hills. Daddy's dreams are in the hills.
Now I will digress a little bit and get back on the 500 acres that I bought from Mrs. McIntyre and the San Antonio Loan and Trust Company, which is the heart of the residential area of Westlake Hills now. And the history of that is, as I told you, the Chambers got that after Mr. Chambers died. And the widow of Mr. Chambers sold that in 1872 to a fellow named Leonard Hartson. He's the same one I mentioned that was in the cedar business that maybe had some connections with P.C. Taylor. Also, in checking the title to that land, I got an abstract after I bought it and had to clear the title because there were flaws in all the titles. I found a 10-acre block, a little addition that was where Old Stonehenge is now located. And the records show that that 10 acres came into the hands of a Mexican named Navarro about 1872. The rock fence that I was talking about a while ago that we used to make the fill down for Lake Austin Inn at the mouth of Bee Creek, this old Mexican probably built that rock fence around this 10 acres. He also had, there were evidences there of an old dug well right in there about where the old Stonehenge Road is, and either a fig or a plum granite tree. So it showed signs of habitation, and in my abstract that I had of that deed said, described that 10 acres this, said, beginning at a cedar stump about 300 yards above Little Bee Creek on a bluff. Now, that could have been within a mile of where it was actually. There's no way to find it at all. It cost me $500 to clear the title to that 500 acres, and I didn't pay but $2,000, as I said, for the whole 500 acres. So in my meanderings out here, it cost me a little bit to learn the law as well as it did to buy the land. The deed that was given to Navarro in December of 1872, the description is a classic, and I want to recite that from the deed itself so that you people can see how far astray some of the descriptions were in those days. It was described as this: being a tract of land on the southwest side of the Colorado River, known as the Chambers Tract, beginning at a stake and stone mound on the top of Little Bee Creek, supposed to be about 300 yards from the creek, from which the cedar stub of a tree about 10 feet high bears certain courses and distances from this rock mound. It could be noted here that that beginning point, said being on the southwest side of the river, was at least a mile, as the crow flies, from the river itself. Now, how a surveyor would find that point, I do not know, and neither did Mr. Gracie when he got the passing on the title for my lots out here. Then it goes on to describe this little 10 acres as being square 210 and 6/10 vares each way. In 1878, this fellow Navarro, the deed record shows, transferred that to a Mexican named Estrada. Then in 1890, Pedro Estrada conveyed this tract to Stark Washington, the same man that owned the ranch along the BK Road where the school is now located. Mr. Lee Costley also was involved in this little 10-acre tract. And I might intercede here and say that my inspiration for naming all of these different additions in that chamber survey, the Stonehenge Estates, came because from that old rock fence that was there on Old Stonehenge, and it was probably built by these Mexican people. Now, in my perusings around down on Bee Creek, where John Scanlon now lives in the bottom survey, I ran into a tombstone. I think I told you about that somewhere along the line. If I didn't, I run into a tombstone that's laying down there under the trees, and there were no evidences of a grave. But the tombstone had a little carving on it. It said Muerte Harlan. And there was a fellow named Harlan that owned that place down in there right after the turn of the century or maybe before it, and lived there where the springs were. There's the springs where John Scanlon's house out is. It is my surmise that these Mexicans who lived up on Old Stone Edge were the nearest neighbor to this fellow Harlan, and that when he died, they buried him, and in the best way they knew how to, they marked his grave with a stone that said, Murty Harlan, which means Harlan is dead. As time went on, this title of this 10 acres fell into a man named Stale Fox, who had a house or a beer joint during Prohibition times right there where the LCRA building is now at the east side of the dam. Stale Fox filed what you called an office plat of this 10 acres and cut it into little 50-foot lots. And he called it the Hillside Edition, I think he called it. Well, he would trade lots for debts or tires and whatnot, and he'd bring people up the on the west side of the dam and walk about 200 or 300 yards and point out a piece of ground up there, and that was his addition. Of course, it was still a mile away from where what he was selling these people. But anyway, there were various conveyances from Stale Fox to people, and I had to bring suit against all those people in order to get my title clear. And the RFC was some of them. And one of them was Willie Kasurik's father-in-law. And one of them was Mr. Niske, who ran a tire store and later was a member of the City Council of Austin. But Stale Fox, he gave them all the deeds to these different things. But, of course, they weren't any worse off when they got the deed than they were before, because Stale Fox wasn't going to pay them anyhow. There was a Mr. M.B. McCullough who became interested in the lands, the Chamber Survey, the part that I owned and got from the Brackenridges, and also the James Tract. And at what time of the years that was, I think it must have been in the 20s. And he had his home down on Little Bee Creek, just east of the Chamber Survey. There was a spring in there, and the ruins of their old house was there in 1936 when I came. They had a lot of rock left in there, and there was some fruit trees around, and this spring was there, and there's a well. There was a well right in the middle of the creek. Mr. McCullough had two children. I knew both of them. One, the boy, worked in the post office at Austin there for a while, and his daughter, Mrs. Whitty McCullough, she married Mr. L.L. Bradshaw, one of my very dear friends in town. And about the same time that I became interested in the Brackenridge Tract, Mr. Bradshaw was wanting to move out and on the McCullough land that he owned. They owned 50 acres there, and they had a subdivision made of it later on. And Mr. Bradshaw was one of the first city council members of our little town of Westlake Hills, village of Westlake Hills. He built the house that Liz Carpenter now lives in, and on the place where I am now living. But they run cattle in there. They call it the McCullough Land and Cattle Company. And, of course, there wasn't any way to make a living running cattle on this land out in here, but they lived there. And I remember when Paul Wakefield bought the Corn Point Lodge property for Mr. Jesse Jones, but he wanted to build his home. Mr. Jones had given it to him, and he wanted to build his home called Corn Point Lodge there. And there was this a rock that belonged to the old McCullough home, laying there in a big pile, and I made a deal with Mr. Bradshaw to let Paul have that rock if he would build a house. And Mr. Bradshaw felt that it would be worth a lot more in a house for the community there and even improve the value of his land. And we made a lot of deals together. I know he let me bring Redbud Trail through his property and this land that I got from the city of Austin, 15 acres. Part of it run across Redbud Trail and on down into Bee Creek where Johnny Musselman building now is. And I didn't think the piece of land down there was worth anything at that time, so I gave Mr. Bradshaw that piece of land with a Musselman building is now, and on a trade, it's something I didn't want. It's on the wrong side of, it's adjacent to what Mr. Bradshaw had, and then he sold it to someone else. But we had a very fine relationship. And there's another connection there. Miss Billy McCullough worked for the Wentland people for a while when I was first starting to working out here, I think. Anyway, she was a secretary for them for years in there before she came out to Westlake Hills.
Daddy's dreams are in the hills. Daddy's dreams are in the hills.